This is too hot for a dust-off area, Stewart was saying to Gerhardt. There's a little village down this road. The VC must have it, but their main force is on the hill. The squad the ARVNs chased went back to the mountain.
That the second?
I guess so, Stewart said. But we can't sit out here. We need to get to the village and get picked up from there. We can't hold these positions much longer. Stewart told Charlie Company to move out first, but when he saw what was left of it, he had us all move out together. Jamal had hurt his hand, maybe even broken it, but he was okay except for being winded. We went on a forced march for 10 minutes toward the village. We knew when we reached it as the first men started to fall. The ARVN troops, still not reorganized, caught up with us as we formed a perimeter and tried to get into the village. Some of them ran past us. We watched them get hit and start running back. I was afraid they would start firing on us. Then I saw that many of them had even dropped their weapons. I saw the area that Captain Stewart had been talking about. It would make an iffy dust-off area at best. Choppers could get in and out fairly quickly, but it would be easy for the Kong guns on the hill to hit. Maybe our artillery could keep them quiet. But there was no way the choppers could move in if we didn't take the village. Colonel High finally got what was left of his outfit together and attacked the village. They went on what looked like a suicide charge into the village. As they ran, they began to fall. They fell according to how they were hit. If they were hit in the head, they went backward or whirled around. Sometimes a man hit in the head would go several more stumbling steps before falling. If they were hit in the body, they would just lean forward, as if they were reaching for the ground, and then collapse.
Let's go!
We moved out. Johnson and Monica were behind us, covering us with the 60. They had given the other 60 to an ARVN squad. We ran forward, desperately searching for something to get behind as the bullets whined about us, kicking up dirt and snapping branches. A fresh company of ARVNs had swung around the flank. We were closing in on the village. I was on the ground. I was hurting. My arms and shoulders ached. I loaded another clip and started firing. It was a hamlet, the same thatched roofs, the same smell of burnt bamboo. We fired into the village, trying to chop down anything we could see. Johnson moved the 60 up and got it into place. Monaco loaded again. It was time for the rest of us to get up, to charge again. I was tired, so tired. There was nothing to do but to go on. It came to me that we had the hamlet surrounded, so there was nothing for the Kongs to do but to defend the village. We were here, and they were here. And the only thing to take care of was the dying. I ran on. I saw Pee-wee throwing a grenade. A good idea. I snatched a grenade from my belt and threw it through the window of a hut. Shit. I had forgotten to take the damn pin out. I started firing through the window when I saw the grenade come out. I jumped away, twisting my body as I saw it bounce. It bounced toward me. My hands went up. I tried to turn my chest away. I didn't want to see it, but I couldn't turn away. I looked. It still wasn't armed. I grabbed it and pulled the pin out, arming it. I threw it again. It went through the same window. This time, it exploded. I was on my feet, running toward the hut, firing at nothing, at everything. So tired. I couldn't get my arms up. We went from hut to hut. I wanted to rest, just for a moment. I saw two ARVNs and a GI go into a hut. Their piece is ready. Another GI was outside. He tossed a grenade through the window. The explosion ripped away a side of the hut.